From Plant Lab in Austin, Texas, this is Stacker News Live!
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another exciting episode of Stacker News Live. My name is Carl. We have Keon. Keon, how was your week?
Hello, my week was great. I've been fighting fungus gnats again.
Yeah, dude.
The war wages on.
Figured out.
The battle.
I'm about to ready to kill these plants.
Don't do that. I think we can win.
I'm going to murder them. These plants.
I think if we give it another cut, we've already done a pretty good job. They've already reduced quite a bit.
I think I wouldn't actually wouldn't murder plants, but I definitely would just like take them and then put them out there to the main hallway and just give it to somebody. But yeah, it's getting to a point now where it's like these plants have to go. That's where I'm at personally.
Yeah, I think we can give it some. We haven't waged.
I'll give it another week.
We haven't used all-out warfare yet.
Give it another week, and then after that, Vominos pest. And then if that still doesn't fix it, well, then there's something dead here. It might be like a dead rodent up there that we not need to look into. That's the only other thing I can think of.
I don't think they attract fungus gnats.
It's not like a dead possum or something. You don't think
they don't?
But they don't attract gnats.
I think they attract insects, but fungus gnats are specifically.
Maybe we would see like other types of groups of insects. Maybe.
I think so. I think we'd see like flies.
But yeah, that's the talk of this week, inside of the lab.
I just brought it up. I didn't mean.
Oh no, dude! There was somebody in here this week, and they were getting attacked by them. That's why I'm like, yeah, it's a whole.
They don't attack though. They're just
they're a menace. Gnats are a menace.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, you have it worse in your office, I would say.
No, they're not much worse than I've seen, but I do get a few of them in there a day. They are really annoying.
They're bothering me a lot. So one thing that works is I'll turn on the fan down there, and then once I turn on the fan, then it just like they like go away.
Yeah, it's like mosquitoes. Like one pretty good defense against mosquitoes is just to have moving air. So they have trouble kind of flying through moving air.
Other than that, how's your week going?
Other than that, it's going good. I think I don't think anything happened. We did have new neighbors move in.
Yeah. That's been the other talk of the thing this week, too. Tell them about that.
Oh, yeah. So our new neighbors, they're like kind of Groupon for restaurants, but with a...
Oh, it's an interesting model, yeah.
Yeah, with like a slight change up. I think they do... I don't really understand it because they're kind of vague on their website, but it's something like they buy coupons more or less from restaurants and in a way they're funding those restaurants and helping them survive. And then they resell those coupons to a set of retail users. So they have like these two sides to their app. It's called InKind, and they raised $450 million like a year or two ago or something. And most of that money is intended to go to the restaurants that they buy these coupons from. But it has an interesting story. One of the co-founders was shot and killed by an Austin police department. But they started like 10 years ago in DC, I think.
Oh, wow.
I don't know. They have like a few co-founders.
Yeah, you did a whole write-up on it.
I didn't do a write-up. I shared a link in our chat.
No, but you did that the last time when somebody moved in. You researched them heavily. And I was like, oh, wow. There's a whole sleuthing going on. It was awesome.
Well, I get really curious.
Yeah.
Especially about businesses. It's like, what are they doing and why are they a thing? What is the market? What is the product?
Yeah. What's the TAM? There used to be a restaurant incubator, and then that's how they started. Then they pivoted into that where they buy like 10,000, 20,000, whatever that number is from restaurants. So Saturn bar's on there. So what they'll do is they'll buy that. And then they sell future.
It's kind of unclear to me whether they end up having equity in the companies or not.
I would imagine there's some sort of like small little point or something. I would imagine. Maybe. Why not?
Yeah.
Maybe some units, maybe, because most of those businesses are probably LLCs, I would imagine, like Saturn Bar.
You know? Oh, yeah. I don't even know how investment works in restaurants. I think it works quite a bit differently than like startups, obviously, because they are usually cash flow generating businesses and usually have some profit.
So an LLC maybe.
Yeah, they're definitely formed as LLCs, I imagine. Yeah. I'm just mostly curious about what the return, like what the return looks like for investors and what their expectations are going into investments. It seems like it likely pays out earlier, and maybe it has like,
yeah, it's just a buyout maybe.
A buyout? How?
So like, let's say hypothetically, I start a restaurant called Cars Tacos, and this already sounds good. Making an LLC, you want to invest, you know, I don't know, 50K.
How about 25K?
No, it's going to cost more than that for Cars Tacos. You invest there. Eventually, we start making a F ton of money because Cars Tacos are amazing. And I want to take it to the next level. And then somebody comes and wants to buy you out for like 200 because then you just 4X'd or whatever. That's kind of what I think it's going. That's how I think it would work personally. But I don't know anything.
I don't think it works that way. I would guess.
Of course you don't think it works that way. It wouldn't be a good show if you did.
I mean, I think it has a more predictable structure than that, where like the company that or the restaurant that takes the investment.
Well, you asked me, how do you get a return on that by investing into a restaurant? I said, that's one way to get a return on it.
I didn't ask you anything, actually. I was just talking and you started telling me what you thought. But I think
you want to get a return on it? Let's try to make these car tacos work.
Wait,
how do you want to get a return on it?
I just
want, that's ultimately what it comes down to. It's like, what does the investor want out of this?
They want more money than they put in.
Okay, so one way is we sell part of your ownership stake in Cars Tacos.
Yeah, I'm not talking about theoretical ways that I could get a return on money. I'm talking about the common way. Like, what does a typical restaurant investment look like in terms of how capital is returned, the timing of the return?
I'm sure there's some dividends built into a contract of a sort, right? They would have to be.
Yeah. Well, that's not true in startups. So I want, you know, it could be true of restaurants, but I just imagine there's like structural differences in the way the investments are. And I'm wondering, that was my question, is like whether that's part of what they offer these restaurants is maybe they buy the coupons, but maybe in some cases they buy a lot of coupons, and as part of buying a lot of coupons, they want equity in the restaurant.
Yeah, I would be curious to see how that would work, right? Maybe they can, there has to be something far more lucrative there for them to raise that much, to be honest. So I would imagine if they're raising that much, there's a much sweeter play there. I don't think you raise half a billion, you said?
450 million was
close enough. Yeah, there has to be some sort of.
It would make sense that there's equity there. It would also make sense that their business, their just reselling of those coupons, could be so profitable that the company, the in-kind itself, is valuable.
Yeah, I guess so. I would see it more on. So one way would be interesting is, look, let's say let's just say hypothetically they do buy, you know, $50,000, $100,000 injection into these restaurants. There is some sort of coupons because they have a humongous network. So as far as like their platform, there's probably so many different ways that you can make a return on that initial investment. Obviously through its revenue generating business on the platform, and then maybe like through some dividend of a sort that kicks back to them after they hit a certain threshold where the business is now profitable. And then maybe there's like a third thing where they can sell that, or they can buy a majority stake in the restaurant business. I mean, I feel like there's just so many ways to it. Just keep, if you keep it like kind of loose, it feels like there's just.
Yeah, but I don't want it to be loose. I want to know exactly how the business works. Well, and that's what that like, my best answer is that they, in the typical business of Saturn Bar, they bought a number of coupons and that's it. That's the extent of the deal. But for other businesses, perhaps when the coupons perform well, they reapproach the business and they're like, we'll give you $500,000 and you give us coupons. But as part of that big investment, we also want some equity. That's my best imagining of how it
works. Because I mean, their incentive to grow that business too as well. And if they're sending, you know, hundreds, thousands of people every month to their business, then they should get some sort of kickback, or they should have some sort of stake. I don't know. Either way, it does sound like a really cool setup. I don't know how we got
off topic. Yeah, 450 million sounds like a lot.
But, well, I don't know if you saw the other thing. The founder invested like 79. So there's that.
Yeah, I think he might have been successful already in business and like restaurants. Yeah. But it is like another tier of investor. And that's why, or like another kind of investor. There are like specific people who invest in restaurants. And I should just go and research it. But I'm curious about like the structure of that.
Yeah, and it's probably not a lot of money for like all his friends if he already has. Like if he's injecting some of it, he probably had like two other people that came in, I would imagine, two or three. Anyways, I don't know anything. We're just speculating. This is what we do on the show. We don't talk about restaurants. We don't talk about gnats. Well, sometimes we talk about gnats. But this week, we actually have a really, I think it's going to be an amazing show. We actually are talking a lot about like Bitcoin this episode. So you're welcome. If you came here to learn about Bitcoin today, this is a good day.
Yeah, you're welcome, Satoshi.
And we're going to talk about some apps that are out there. We're going to get into some of the BIP 110 stuff because that's happening out there. And with all that, we're going to jump to the top three stories this week here on Stacker News Live. That's the last one. First one is Plunda.co has a new home. This is from at Plunda. 26 comments, 10,000 sats. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, it looks like the Plunda founder and CEO. I don't know if he calls himself. I like vintage coins and collect them and helps you manage it. And you can buy them with Bitcoin. It's kind of a nice, like, kind of cool, like, in a fun way, ties new money to old money. And it's like it's quite a rich platform with like lots of gamification. Anyway, the founder is setting up a new office, this video shows them renovating a building that they bought to put Plunda's office in. And it looks like an old shop of some kind. He says in the video that it's somewhere in Barcelona. So, and he said it's like quite literally a medieval building. You can tell by how the odd proportions of it. It's like very thin. It's kind of what you'd find in homes that are more or less like centrally located in European cities. I think he said it has, might have three stories, or there might be an apartment below. He shared a schematic with me in the comments, but he really did a number on it. Like it looked really old and kind of gross. And he shows a start to finish, like the roof there that he redid. And then he redoes this floor. Puts wooden floors in. But a really cool, like a fun build. I wasn't expecting this when I went to go watch the video. I thought it would be him more talking about the app, yeah, like a new Plunda, like he refreshed Plunda somehow or added a really big feature. But it was like literally him putting Plunda in a new home. But it looks great. It looks fantastic, and it looks nice. I love quirky little construction builds like this. Like it has the office is in the topmost story, and there is like an attic like staircase with a hatch door, because everything is like so narrow and it doesn't have like a normal standing door. But looks really cool.
Yep, shout out Jawa, that's his name. He's actually a friend of PubLab. We had him on for the first top builder back in 24. And since then, I've always just kind of kept in contact with him. The last time I talked to him was maybe last year. So I need to reach out to him again. It's been a while. But he's building Plunda. Plunda's a really interesting concept for an app with coins and all sorts of things. And I think Boog absolutely loves it. Check it out here. Let me go to Plunda real quick so we can give him a proper shoe. Where's it at? Plunda.co. Plunda.co. There we go. There you go. I think we actually do have an account on here, or PubLab does. But yeah, buy mystery boxes, you get real assets. You can crowdfund. There's a crowdfund on Geyser, so you can go and support it. I think even Brad Mills supported it here at one time. There he goes. Yeah, Brad Mills, Druid did too as well. PubLab's there.
Oh, Boog is there.
Yeah, everybody's supporting
Plunda. He also has a really pleasant accent.
Yeah. He's a super nice guy.
There's like a variety of British accents depending on like the region. I like his accent. I wish I had more context to compare it to. I once met a woman traveling that had, oh God, where was she? She was from another one, and she had kind of a, I don't know. It wasn't a pleasant accent, as pleasant of an accent. And it's kind of cool. I imagine in the United States there are those, we have accents like that, but it feels like less distinctive, like between regions of the United States. It's not so severe.
Yeah, yeah. I'm excited to visit one day. I always wanted to go to. You said Barcelona. I always wanted to go to Barcelona.
Oh, you'd love it.
Man, it'd be awesome. Cool. With that, let's jump into the next top story this week. It's going to be HM Forgotten Satoshi Emails Discovered with Nicholas Baum, the Satoshi Times. Keon, what's this?
Yeah, so Nicholas Baum was one of the early users of Bitcoin shortly after Satoshi released it, I think a few weeks after. And he had some issues running Bitcoin. And he's not deeply technical. I think he's mostly a lawyer with some technical background and does some like communication about technical concepts. I think he worked with the government, is my recollection of having read this. Anyway, him and Satoshi exchanged emails because he was having problems running his node. Like, he had antivirus software that was interacting with Bitcoin in a weird way when it would like crash or prevent it from running. And then he had another like some kind of disk cleanup, like regular job that did disk cleanup, and it would crash the node as well. So there's a number of correspondences between him and Satoshi where he's trying to figure out what's going wrong. And Satoshi is very attentive because he's very interested in like a non-technical person attempting to use Bitcoin this early and what it might be like for them. And it's actually a great, fantastic insight into how empathetic Satoshi was and how he was thinking about Bitcoin and that he was really taking it very seriously. It wasn't just an academic thing for them. Just a great person. Like, some of the things he said, I think, are just really like quite wise.
Do you remember one, Keon?
One of them is in here where he says something about like having fresh eyes on the project and how he's like lost that ability now.
Oh, wow.
Because he's like, I had my experience using it for the first time, and it's like already spent and taken up. So it's great to hear from someone else using it for the first time. Let me see if I could. Okay, here it says, you only get one chance to see how something looks for the first time. And he said, I already spent all of mine. And I think it just also phrased well. Anyway, there are many of these emails. They were first surfaced during the Craig Wright trial because they were private emails. They were done off the public mailing list. And as part of Nick Bohm's participation in the Craig Wright trial, which contributed to Craig Wright getting proven to be a fraud or determined by the court to be a fraud, Nicholas Bohm contributed these emails and I think testimony in that trial. Because he also had an earlier version of the Bitcoin white paper, and he had these emails that would be unknown to someone who was pretending to be Satoshi because they were private. And so this was part of like the case that was built up against Craig Wright. What else happens in here? It's just kind of they exchange Bitcoin a little bit, some of the like the earliest Bitcoin transactions you could still find on chain today. They kind of do it back and forth. A variety of like releases that address certain bugs that Nicholas is having.
So really spending time with them like one on one to try to get them to.
Yeah, quite a bit of email back and forth and. Just how few people, like there was no one on the network then. It was at a point where there were like, I think Nick Bohm would spin up his node and there would be no one to connect to.
How did that feel the first time you did that with Stacker News, Keon?
What do you mean?
Like when you launched Stacker News, it was just you posting news.
I don't think it just didn't last very long.
Oh, wow.
it was maybe like a, I mean, it always, it never felt like a, like got super, super big, but it early on, it was a few, there were always a few people from when I started mm-hmm. who were just kind of curious. Like, I think we've discussed John Carvalho, I think was the first user after, like the first person after me.
Oh, interesting.
On Stacker News. So I had released it or it got shared somewhere where there were enough people who were curious that they ended up participating.
But with Satoshi, he was like just him by himself.
Mm. There was already Dustin and there was already Hal.
Okay.
Assuming Hal isn't also Satoshi.
And then this guy, it sounds like.
And he might have been, there might have been a few other people. But
he was the only one that wasn't like to that level of like understanding of how everything.
Yeah, he was definitely, it seemed like the first non-programmer, perhaps, to be interested in Bitcoin.
Interesting.
Yeah, pretty awesome. And he died, unfortunately, in 2024 before the ruling in the Craig Wright trial. He was 80.
Oh, that's his address right there. Oh, wow.
I think that, yeah. Because they were sending Bitcoin back and forth, and Satoshi was having him like,
he was just slinging him 100 Bitcoin,
giving feedback on it.
It's just slinging.
That yeah, way, like it was, it was literally worth nothing at that point. There was no price.
It's probably the way we sing sats right now. Just like, there you go. Yeah, I would imagine. That's wild, dude. Cool. Cool moment in history, man. Anything else that was interesting from here?
I don't think there was much that. Oh, there was mentioned a little bit of Dustin Trammell and one of the IP addresses that was shared in the IRC chat where they would find other peers. And that's from Round Rock, that IP address is located.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, which is just north of doxed. Where we are here in Austin.
Triple doxed.
And, it also, drugs. That same IP address is also associated with an edit to the Texas A&M football page.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so it's one of those early IP addresses is at least associated with Round Rock. It doesn't mean anyone's located there, obviously.
That falls in line with some of the other Austin lore I've heard through like just being at parties where people much earlier on will tell me stories about the early Bitcoin community here in Austin. This all falls in line. That's kind of weird. I need to go back and like think about this.
Yeah, this is much earlier than that. This is 2009.
No, I know, but I've heard stories like from people, and I'm not gonna say anything, but it's just like, and I always wondered like, is that true? Or is it just like folklore at this point? Like Austin folklore. That's fascinating. Wow. That's crazy. Well, that's big. Anything else like that? So glad I asked you now.
Yeah, I know that you really like the Texas stuff. I think that was the main.
Oh wow, that's wild! Next time I see Dustin, I'm going to ask him some questions.
Were you ever in Round Rock? Yeah. Super obvious.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I don't think there was much.
Yeah, because I think I just it's just fascinating with like the history stuff. That's one good thing that Stacker News does really well is like it's a good place to go. Look at all the history stuff. Same thing with SNI is another one that's like that, to go look at all the history stuff. I'd love that stuff.
Well, this past month was History Month on Stacker News. Not many people wrote for it, but this is one of the entries. That's why it has the HM in the title. Because we were trying to get people to write more about it. Yeah.
Wild, dude. Okay, we'll move on from this. But let's jump into the number one story this week. The number one story this week is Wasabi Wallet. Mandatory upgrade, Kion. What's going on here?
Yeah, so Crew shared this Wasabi wallet release, and it's 2.8. It's mandatory because of a Tor. What is it called? What would they say? They're like they're having a release of Tor that is like not backwards compatible. They'll stop supporting.
Oh wow!
The network will stop supporting versions earlier than 0.4.9. So if you're using Wasabi Wallet, you should upgrade so that you can communicate. But there are also a bunch of other things in this release that are all pretty awesome on their own, and it goes through here. Shares, let me said it's 10 months worth of work. Crew runs the most popular Wasabi coordinator. And I believe, assists on in development of the software in some capacity. But things like compact filters, I guess Wasabi had compact filters that used a centralized indexer. And now it uses Bitcoin's compact filters so that you don't have to rely on the centralized coordination point to get blocks and transactions that are of interest to your wallet. You can pay in CoinJoin. So you can, if you need to pay someone, you can, the output can eventually be the person that you're paying, go to the person that you're paying. They're going to support sub one sat per V-byte transaction fees. You can batch. You can pay to multiple addresses in the same transaction. They're going to support ARM, Tails, and Unix. So more just kind of architectural operating system support. They also added a Lisp scripting language, specifically the dialectic scheme, but where you can like kind of programmatically interact with your Wasabi wallet, which is pretty awesome. And then they added support for Signet. Anyway, pretty cool. He said, Crew also said that they were going to do a write-up this next week on like more details. I think, what did he say? Oh, I think Pay and CoinJoin is the one he's really excited about. And he's going to do a write-up on. But awesome. Bitcoin's privacy space continues. Continuing.
Yeah, it's good to see it. It's good to see it. We got the top comment from Optimism. He was commenting on the Tor project announcement. He said, very poor, lazy decision making on their part. We don't like deprecating older versions. Deprecates a 1.5 month old release. Ugh. Nice fast reaction speed on your end, though. And then he said, paying CoinJoin. This was on my wish list for a while. Awesome. Cool stuff. Anything else you want to bring up there, Keon?
I don't know. I wonder why they're terminating support for these older versions of Tor. It suggests to me there might be, like, if they're not just being lazy, might there be another reason that they just haven't disclosed yet about security or something else that requires them to sunset all these old versions? I don't know, but maybe once that transition period elapses, we'll get a disclosure about why they made that decision.
Yeah, I think we will. That's all the top stories this week on stacker.news. And there's a ton more stories. You just go here, click on this little SN button, go to top, go to week, bye-bye. You'll see all the top stories this week. We didn't get to cover them all, but we got more coming up here pretty soon. First, we're going to jump into our new sponsor, or newish sponsor. It is, wrong one. Hang on, let me switch it up. Oh, yeah, here we go. Boom, Bitcoin Quest. That's right. You've never heard of Bitcoin Quest. It is the only place you can learn about Bitcoin. Well, not the only place. Slow my roll, car. It's one of the few places you can learn about Bitcoin. Earn real sats. There's a ton of topics. It's streaming TV, which I love to watch. Play games. You can win Bitcoin. What else do you want, huh? That's right. Check it out. Let's give it a little twirl this time. I got the other logo. I'm going to just use the other logo for now. Forgive me, Phil. But yeah, as you can see here, let's go into the this thing here so you can see it better. I'm sorry. This one. There you go. A little delay there. So, hey, you know what? Let's say your mom is looking at this and she's like, you know what, mijo, I want to learn about Bitcoin today. Okay, mom, you want to learn about Bitcoin? Boom, let's go there. I'm going to teach you. I want to learn. Hit continue. Why Bitcoin, mijo? Well, now, you know what, mijo, I want to learn about the properties. I'm like, okay, what else do you want to learn? The history and the memes, because I want to laugh. Boom, that's it. Her quest begins, and she starts learning about it. There's Nacho Trails. There's Read Channels. You can ask Nacho anything. And
Nacho?
That's Nacho. Is that
your brother?
It's cheese stuff.
Oh, the Nacho cheese.
Anyway, you can check it out. And then Nacho introduces himself. He's your Bitcoin guide, and you start earning rewards right away. There's really nothing to it. And we both know Phil, who's a stacker. He's building this, and it's quite a thing, man. It's been cool to see. It's a lot more stable now, to be honest. And your mom can even use it. That's how simple it is. It even works on a phone. So check it out. Play with it. It is Bitcoin Quest. Boom, 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 boom. Bitcoin Quest. And we want to thank them again for sponsoring Stacker News Live. Cool. With that, let's jump into Wumble's Picks. Wumble's Picks. The wonderful world of Wumble. Wumble is behind the scenes every week making clips for the stackers who watch our YouTube and some of these other social sites. And he's out there. He's out there. And he is making clips. This week, Wumble asks, hey, guys. Which website will be the next to follow Reddit's example? So apparently Reddit did a thing. Did you see that? Where they went like old Reddit?
Well, they've always had old Reddit since they switched to new Reddit. They've had old Reddit because people get kind of entrenched and have expectations that their current experience is going to get maintained. And they did a huge like web 2.0 refresh.
But he's asking about this specifically. Mm-hmm. They'll ask you, they'll require you to log in to use old.reddit.com.
Yeah, previously you could browse on old Reddit without having to log in. But it seems like they, in order to fight like bots and AI stuff, or at least that's what they claim the reasoning is behind. And they also label it as abusive, they are going to require logging into old Reddit to browse to any depth. You know how like you go to Instagram, if you don't have an Instagram account, well, I don't have an Instagram.
You still browse.
You can't. Yeah. You get like logged.
Oh, you can't.
No, you like oh, you okay, can go. Good. You can go to a profile if you get like linked to it. But oh, the moment wow. you scroll down a little bit, it's like log in. The moment you click on a on an image, log in. I expect that is what they mean when they say they're going to require login. Is they'll do like the sunk cost tease of like freemium. You don't have to give us any personal information, and then eventually they'll basically force you to. So log in.
For some reason, I thought that was still open, but I guess you're right. But doesn't TikTok do that too? I feel like I've seen
gone through TikTok. Pretty much every place on the internet has this kind of mechanic. Oh. Modern place on the internet has this mechanic. You know, I think the sanest boundary is when they require login to comment or to begin interacting. But
that's wild.
Yeah, places like Reddit.
Yeah, I didn't know that. So his question was: here we go. Here we go. Do you think, question, could having, oh, I'm sorry, which website will be the next to follow on Reddit's example? Keon, which one do you
think?
And
it's hard to say because pretty much all of them do already. I think old Reddit was, I think this is news because most people could still go to old Reddit and browse anonymously and not have to fear experiencing a forced
login. So you think it's just, you're going to see more silos basically?
No, I'm saying that it already exists.
We're already in a silo.
Yeah, I think, everything is like this already.
Yeah, I think so too. Wumble, unfortunately. And this is the world we live in.
Twitter, that happened when Elon joined X. Mm-hmm. Took over X as he started doing that. You have to be logged in to view tweet threads and stuff.
Yeah.
The other part of this, or the reason, the actual motivation behind this is my guess, is that, and I'm reading into it, is not that the bots are abusing them. It's much more that they see AI companies circumventing their like paywalls for bots. Because there was stories a few years ago where they were like, they had, I think Google pay them like $1 billion or several hundred million dollars for access to their API. This is what several of these social media networks are doing, is they're like charging for access to data. And so I think this is a move, this is like defending that business strategy for them, where they're trying to prevent people to access the data without paying them.
And to be honest too, on the other side, there's a cost to this for the company. I would imagine, right? Isn't there a cost for the ingress? No, there's no cost to them whatsoever.
No, negligible.
Oh wow, to the other negligible. Expenses. Okay. Well,
No, I mean, there is cost to them. If it, like, the bots are hammering their servers and, yeah, consuming a lot of bandwidth and computer resources.
If I remember, that's what Elon had said initially, because they had, like, video, they had, like, tweets, they had, like, all this data for, like, a decade plus.
I think it's just an attempt to kind of not come out and say, we're trying to make money, and we're trying to get more money from you. And you can kind of say these other things. But, yes, it's definitely true that bots can do a lot of damage and cause a lot of trouble. And
I feel like run up bills. Me personally, well, I do think, like, I understand why they're doing it. Do I agree? Obviously not. I want the internet to be free, but we are not in that world, unfortunately. I do think the Elon method makes more sense. Like, maybe give out, like, a, you know, do like an API thing. I don't know. It's especially when people are trying to take advantage of it.
They already do the API thing.
Yeah. But you can access Twitter, though, without seeing certain, without being logged into as well. I feel like
you could. You can visit a tweet. You cannot read comments, though.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah. But yeah, and I think if it's an article, you can't read it. The limitations are severe. Like, the boundary is poorly constructed. It's like the most, it's the tiniest sliver of content they give you before they force you to log in.
Yeah, I feel like that's a good medium, though. No, you don't think so?
I don't think it's a medium. I think it's a small halfway. I don't think it's halfway. Halfway is, like, to participate on Twitter, you need an account. To participate on Reddit, you need an account. But that's how it was prior to all of these changes. That's I think the medium. It's the one that, like, makes sense. But this is an attempt to force people into their ecosystems. Mm. And that's where I think that, like, that's the motivation. That's, like, the incentive. It's bad. It's, like, not. It's not good. And I think they kind of lie or at least mislead people about what the motivations are. It's, like, multifaceted.
Interesting. Well, there you go, Wumble. This week's Wumble's Picks was a Reddit pick, turns out. Didn't see that coming. But we'll do it next week with the wonderful world of Wumble's Picks. He had one more that we were going to cover. It's the AI one. It's our only AI post this week. Let me see if I can make this bigger for us. There it goes. Yeah. So let AI generate your World Cup predictions. this one's from Dan. What is this, Gia?
I have no idea. I didn't read it. It's not mine. I thought it was your story.
Yeah, it looks like it's blocked because Financial Times blocks everything. And yeah, no, I think what Dan puts here, he just basically says most of you don't visit Financial Times. But earlier this month, they launched AI Prediction World Cup to plug a hole on the homepage, test the abilities of consumer level generative AI tools against massive capabilities. Yeah, it almost looks like they're getting into their own poly market sort of thing here. Oh, no, maybe it's just they're just checking stuff. Maybe there's some alpha in the prediction game yet. Oh, so they're just using it more just for news. That's what it looks like. One bought a question, though. Let's go to it. Wumble's question was, could having AI try to predict the future be a testing metric to evaluate different AI models like the Financial Times did? Keon, what do I say that to you?
What was the question? You kind of mumbled through.
Oh, sorry. He said, could having AI try to predict the future be a testing metric to evaluate different AI models like the Financial Times did this week?
Okay. Can using AI in prediction models test, like, model intelligence? Is it a decent benchmark?
There it goes, right there.
Could AI try to predict the future be a testing metric to evaluate different AI? Yeah, okay, so that's what he asked. Why not? I think, depending on your view of forecasting, you could say that accurate forecasting might be a sign of intelligence. Or it certainly is. I would guess it is a dimension of intelligence where people think like they have talents or experience skills that allow them to think clearly about the future, more clearly than other people, at least. But it is only like with all kinds of intelligence, it's like one dimension. But yeah, I would say it is an important dimension. There's a whole, like, school of forecasting and competitions in forecasting, predicting future events. I didn't really know about that until the Scott Aronson AI 2027.
Oh, yeah, the other one.
Yeah.
How's that going? We haven't looked into that one in a while.
I think Scott, it's still Aronson. It's just like a semi-fictional account attempting to make make the their AI predictions that they came up with as a group. They had these world-class forecasters come up with these predictions. But I think it's fairly static. I don't know. They're probably like charting the progress on it or how accurate it is, and like changing it. But it's mostly just like a research paper, I think, is how they intended to release it.
Got in it yet or no? Where are we at? Because we covered it last year. So that was back here. So have they been?
It currently exists there at the bottom.
Oh, okay. It's in here.
In the like right-hand visualization, it says currently exists in the left-hand bottom.
I guess
we might want to go to our current month, right? In 2020, late 2026, very at the very, very top.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of logarithmic. So that's it. That's where they expect us to be. Are we there? I don't know. I haven't really. I think they have in that right-hand graphic, they have a summary of where we are relative to.
I think if I remember correctly, I don't think they took into account all the different lanes of AI.
If I remember correctly from last year, but I'd have to look at that clip that we literally covered this last year, but I don't remember if they actually had predicted. Because like over here on this side, they're covering a lot of different lanes now, so. It changes the, so that's what I would say. Wumble, you can use it, but yeah, like Keon said, there's a dimension to it, but there's also other variables that you would have to consider, and that requires some intuition and some wisdom and some courage to say it earlier.
So in that graphic you were showing to the right, the AI capabilities, it actually had forecasting in there. So, and these guys know a lot more about AI and are actively thinking about it more regularly. So yes, Wumbo, it appears that is one of six categories that at least people who are forecasting are interested in the capabilities of AI. And they expect it to be to a certain level. And they say AI capabilities there, and they also have hacking and coding. And I would guess, I wonder how they would judge the politics. Hacking ability given Mythos now, because this is January 2027 and we're 6 months out from then. And it seems like the Mythos stuff is at least being portrayed. You know, I don't know anyone with access to it, at least being portrayed as being like quite a significant leap in hacking ability. And there might even be some kind of asymmetry there between hacking and actual coding. And that might, like, in terms of like model capabilities, and so that seems to be maybe forecasted improperly.
Were these lanes already built there? I don't remember seeing that. I'll go back and look. I'm curious to see if they changed anything to.
I would guess they haven't. I would guess it's pretty static.
Let's hope so. I mean, if they did it, that's fine. I would just like to see what it looked like before. I'll look after the show. Anyways. Good one, Wumble. That got us thinking about other things.
Yeah.
Because I totally forgot about that thing. Cool. So we're going to jump into Keon's post this week. Hang with your tribe. This is from Siggy47. Keon, what's Siggy doing this week?
Yeah, Siggy went out to dinner with some other Bitcoiners, but he wrote this to encourage Bitcoiners who are maybe not participating in Bitcoin or like kind of closeted Bitcoiners to go out and try to reach out and find other Bitcoiners, because it is a very satisfying experience to find people who you can talk about these things to. I mean, most of us have the experience as Bitcoiners, even like when we're in Bitcoin and around Bitcoin stuff, that our family members and other people are not super interested in Bitcoin. So if you're not finding like other strangers that you can become Bitcoin friends with, it can be kind of unsatisfied. And so that's mostly what this post is about, is like Siggy talking about how great it is to find other Bitcoiners to spend time with.
I think the thing that I like about this is like trying to find people that are also interested in Bitcoin that want to learn more. I mean, that's one of the reasons why I love doing like our meetup, the Bitcoin Builders meetup for Club Lab. Like, it's because you're finding like these new people that are interested in Bitcoin. And like, that's why I like that meetup culture, because it's like new people. And there's that
they always that wonderment they have in their eye, like, oh, how does this work? And you know what I mean? Because I was there in the beginning. So I think he's right.
Yeah, definitely the like fresh blood energy.
It's very intoxicating.
It's very useful. I think it is energizing. But I think even before that, before moving to Austin, before participating in Bitcoin stuff, it's pretty isolated. I remember back in California trying to find people who were interested in Bitcoin, and I would go to a Bitcoin meetup and it would be crypto stuff or whatever. I remember
getting, that was in California.
Yeah. Like one of the first meetups I went to, I got in an argument with a guy who was presenting on, I think it was, it was XRP. Is presenting on XRP, and I'm like, this isn't even a blockchain. It's like, not only is it not Bitcoin, it's like not even a blockchain. It's like, it's a blockchain. I'm like, no, it's not.
For me, if your Bitcoin meetup literally says Bitcoin, you're there to talk about Bitcoin things. And I'm patient with people that are like, where they're at, and they might have questions or arguments for other coins or whatever. And I'm literally there to answer them. But it's like one of those things where it's like, if you go to a Bitcoin meetup and it's not about Bitcoin, it's like, what are you doing? Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, I actually don't know if this meetup in particular was even specifically Bitcoin. I think I couldn't find a Bitcoin meetup, and I went to a cryptocurrency. That's maybe why.
I was just gonna say, like, just change it to crypto, and then everybody knows that it's crypto instead of.
I didn't know. I assumed that I could show up and talk about Bitcoin with people, and they'd be smart and know things about Bitcoin that I didn't. Mm-hmm. But instead, it was mostly like just kind of crypto people who were kind of guessing and kind of. Yeah, you know, they were enthusiasts. They were interested. I don't think they had any malintent or anything, but they're
still new.
They're still very new and kind of making some of the mistakes that a lot of people do when they engage with that stuff.
Yeah. That's cool. I like it. The next one that you had was, will you take Bitcoin part two?
Yeah. So Gray Ruby had people visit or had some, I think some young folks. I don't know what age he or how he dated them. But let's assume young adults. Show up to his house wanting to clean his trash bins. Wow. Like kind of how people mow lawns or
how does that work? Do they just like
shovel snow?
Do they just like spray in the trash bin?
Yeah, I think they just like power wash in it something like that.
Do they also do the driveway? I'd be curious.
You probably could pay them to do just about anything that is.
Yeah, I would say throw in the driveway for free.
Oh, is that that's how you'd negotiate?
I mean, yeah, they're just going to do the trash cans. I mean, how long does that take? Like 5 minutes?
I don't know. I mean, yeah. I mean, you could take advantage of these kids however you want if they come to your door, I guess.
Do the power wash.
Yeah.
All right, keep going.
Anyway, they approached him, I think, a few weeks ago to clean his trash bins. And he said, I'll only do it if you accept Bitcoin.
That's awesome.
And he said, so come back when you have a Bitcoin wallet and I'll pay you to do it. And so they came back and they had the Trust wallet.
The Binance one.
Yeah. Oh, did Binance buy them?
I haven't seen that one in 40 years.
I didn't realize it was a Binance wallet. So it's like they're it's like kind of like Coinbase has a separate wallet.
I think they bought them when they were gonna launch their BNB because they needed distro. So I think that's what it all ties back to. I could be wrong though. This was like during the crypto times.
That's interesting. They showed up with a Trust wallet, which only supports on-chain Bitcoin, but Gray Ruby paid them on-chain Bitcoin to clean his bins, and he said he told them next time he wants to see them with a Lightning wallet.
Just give him Moon.
Give him a Moon wallet.
I feel like that's an easy first wallet for people.
I think the problem for a lot of people starting is having a separate app to do like one-off Bitcoin things. I wonder if that. I feel like Cash App might be an easier starting point.
No one wants KYC, even like. Because they might already.
Trust wallet non-custodial?
What do you mean?
Is it non-custodial?
I don't use Trust wallet, but I would imagine they probably have like some KYC, like KYC there.
Yeah, I wouldn't. I'm not saying I would recommend someone have Cash App. I just think I would assume that most people would have trouble starting with something like Moon.
I don't think so.
They're like a normal person.
When people ask me, I just tell them to use Moon or like something like that. And then if I said, do you want to start buying it? I'll then mention like other wallets. But
I usually just start with Moon because it's like the easiest one for them. Like if you, especially if you're just going to send them Bitcoin and you want them to hold it. And if they want to move it out of there, then they have to go and learn, you know?
I'll recommend Moon when it's a Bitcoiner who doesn't do stuff with Lightning. I'll recommend Moon. And they're like not technical. If they're technical, then I'll recommend Phoenix. But yeah, maybe I need to like recalibrate my. Well,
in this one, you said that these are just like young kids that don't know anything about Bitcoin, right? Yeah. So Moon, to me, will force them to have to learn about Bitcoin to get it out. That's how I look at it. But
it might be it might be a little too much, and you can't.
Bitcoin's force hard, them. Man.
It certainly is.
Or tell them to get on Stacker News, and then they can go. They can go learn on it.
I don't know.
That's a good one. I still love it though. I love these type of posts. All right, this one's from Boog. He has the Strike Bitcoin back loan ends in July.
What's
going on?
So Blockchain Boog got a loan out at the pretty much the peak of the market, which is how I always imagined my timing would be if I ever took out a loan. So he took out a Strike loan, which requires you putting down like I think.
Looks like you wrote a whole essay here, so let's make this bigger here.
You like over collateralize into these loans typically. I don't know how Strike's loans work, but that's how they worked in the past. You have like more Bitcoin given the volatility than the actual fiat that you get out. Anyway, he invested, I think, initially at 118K. Like that was the Bitcoin price at the time where he got the loan. And Strike gave him fiat and he did other things with fiat. I think the plan was probably to reinvest in Bitcoin, take the gains as Bitcoin's price went up, pay off the loan, and now you have more Bitcoin than when you started with. But that assumes, of course, Bitcoin's price goes up. Anyway, a few months ago, this was almost a year into his loan, Strike emails him that his state is no longer going to allow them to support Bitcoin-backed loans in his state. So he now needs to figure out how to secure more loans. And so he tries a few different products out. Lygos is one. They use DLC. I think they used to be part of, or they're somehow associated.
This is the second time I've heard about them this week, actually. That's funny you say that.
Okay, who else? Where else did you hear about it?
Can't say, but keep going.
Okay. They do DLCs, and so it's like a non-custodial, more non-custodial loan construction where it's a little more, has a little less trust in it. He tried them. He found the experience kind of hard and difficult and like not intuitive. He says that it's kind of early and they're kind of still figuring things out, but that he says the experience was kind of rough. He's having to email the developer about problems that he's encountering or getting a loan. It's like not self-serve. And then he learned about another loan service called Surge Credit, and he ended up getting a loan through them. I think it's about 10% APR roughly. And he said that was pretty easy and pretty self-serve. I would assume it's probably custodial like Strike. But Boog is, from what I can tell, Boog is not, he's not investing money that he can't afford to lose, or he's not taking, like putting Bitcoin up as collateral that he can't afford to lose. So he's just kind of messing around and kind of trying to play the game a little bit and see what happens. And I guess this protocol or whatever it is has like a public order book. That's some of the data there. He said he's enjoying it. And
what did he say to Darth?
Because Darth always, whenever he talks about this kind of stuff, Darth is like, "You are idiot. You whatever Darth says." I don't know. However Darth says it, but it's something like he's a fiat maxi, and he's going to like he's going to get margin called or liquidated or whatever and lose all of his Bitcoin is what Darth tells him. And he just wanted to hedge against that happening. He jokes around about investing. I think Den in the comments says this too, but you know, if you have a loan where you pay 10% APR and they give you fiat and you take that fiat and then you do something kind of stupid, but you take that fiat and you put it in like one of these strategy digital credit things, which pays out like, you know, 11% rather than 10%. If you believe in this house of cards will last are the terms of your loan. You can pay off the loan with a dividends from your digital credit bullshit. This kind of stuff is, I know a lot of Bitcoiners play with this behind the scenes and they don't talk about it publicly. That's why I kind of wanted to discuss this.
Yeah, this is really good and thorough, Blockchain Boog. I appreciate you being thorough and honest and sharing your experiences. There was somebody that came in last month to the Builders Club and they were explaining their river type of kind of strategy and like how they use that plus like a credit card and how they live on Bitcoin doing that. So that was kind of cool to hear. But yeah, you're right. There's a lot of different ways to do it.
It's very interesting to me, but it always seems like not worth it. My parents went through bankruptcy and I just can't even.
Do people ask you how to do all this stuff or no? I feel like I get asked this stuff all the time. I feel like every Builders Club, there's one person asking me stuff like this. And then, anytime I'm having like a normal conversation with like a pleb or something, I'll always get asked like a strategy or something. But I'm always like, I don't like to give them advice, to be honest, because I just don't want to be that guy that like sends them on a path that they could just figure out on their own. If that makes any sense.
It's hard. It's hard to know what you can, because this stuff is risky and dangerous. It's like, even if you're safe doing, say, skydiving.
Yeah.
Like, and you know the right places to do skydiving. You don't want to recommend to a stranger that they should go and do skydiving because they might go to the wrong person to do skydiving and do the wrong things to do skydiving. So when you're dealing with risky things, it's better to just shut up.
Yeah, and it's not my wheelhouse either. It'd be different if it was like my wheelhouse, like if that's what I did for a living, and I don't do this stuff for a living. So I'm the wrong person to ask.
Yeah.
Probably ask somebody else. Let's see here. So hang on, let me go back to here. And then I think you had another one. Let's see here. One more. Hang on. I got it. Paradigm Bitcoin in Switzerland, 5th edition. Keon, why is there a bunny on there?
Yeah.
Let me make it bigger so we can get a
because it's in Switzerland and maybe the rabbit hole thing.
It's a cute bunny.
Maybe they have a lot of bunnies. I guess it gets snowy there. Maybe they have a lot of like
It's a really cute bunny.
Snow, is it? It's not snow bunnies. That's like a porn AI thing, bunny. What's it called?
Like an AI bunny.
No, maybe it is a snow bunny.
His eyes do not look dead. That looks like, oh, actually, that could be AI. Look at that. There's a little, whatever that's called. Pixelation dust.
Oh, it's definitely an AI thing.
Yeah. His eyes, no wonder his eyes look really dead.
This looks like a nice size conference that they have out in Switzerland. It's conducted mostly in French. I know there are a lot of like interesting things here that I hadn't heard of. There's like one guy that has a sailboat. He's like a Bitcoiner on a sailboat and he runs like a full node on a sailboat and he's sailing around. He's planning to sail around the world for, this is a guy who's talking about Nostr tools and kind of.
Oh, this is a conference.
Yes.
Oh, I thought this was just like
a normal event.
No, an Easter thing.
Oh, because it had a bunny?
It had a bunny on there. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean to.
I think it's just like their logo.
I didn't mean to riff on your thing. All right, keep going.
Yeah, it's a conference they throw every year. I think you said it was the 5th version of it.
Oh, wow.
Maybe. This is, a tool that I've seen shared on Stacker News, the website at least, but not a printout of it. It seems like one of the founders might be there.
That's
or someone who's at least interested in the product.
Way to do that. That's cool.
Yeah, it's like a paper tool to help you split up your seed and do, multi-sig without multi-sig. Look at that boat. And this is the guy's sailboat. And his plan is to spend 8 years, I think, sailing around the world and visiting various places and having Bitcoiners on his boat and stuff. It's a few, I think NIM is a VPN service. The other thing was something else. I guess that's maybe their cafeteria or whatever. Oh, this is like their conference area. What is it called? Show floor. Is that what they call it? That's right. Bitbox is probably out there.
Oh, Bitbox is out there. Nice.
Yeah.
I always see that on Anita's newsletter. Oh, look at this. What is this? Physical reality, digital twin.
Yeah, Supercharge Works is something to do with an AI bot that they are trying to make like profitable, and it like dies if it becomes unprofitable. This was a presentation about a inheritance service, and I guess they have some way of helping you, like, not get evil mate attacked by having some kind of translation from your seed words to another domain or range. I don't know.
Cool stuff. I like it. Yeah. So what does this mean in English, Gian?
What does what mean in English?
La para.
The Bitcoin paradigm, probably.
The Bitcoin paradigm. Oh, okay. And then why is the bunny there?
Because the bunny goes down the rabbit hole.
Oh, duh. Now I get it. I get it now. Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Let's jump into... That's a hard change. Let's jump into... do you want to do some more fun stuff, or do you want to do the BIP110 stuff?
You should do whatever you want to do.
Okay. We'll do mine real quick. So we launched Pleb TV Impress this week. I did a walkthrough on it. This is kind of what I've been doing in my spare time of my normal duties here at PubLab. But yeah, it's been fun. I've been asking you a lot of questions, Keon. Really dumb questions, probably, you're tired of hearing, but you're kind, so you listen.
I don't mind.
But yeah, check it out. I also dropped another one last night here, which kind of goes into like one of the remix tools, because that like more of a creation station, I guess you could say, for video. So I jump into all the like remix tools, and then that's what I'm working on right now, trying to get that done hopefully this month in July. We'll see, because it's like really hard. But yeah, if you haven't checked it out, check it out. I think we only have like 1, 2, 3, 4 users right now, maybe.
Yeah, 4 channels.
I think there's, yeah, 4 people. Scoresby joined, and then I got Jim over. And, yeah, we're just going to keep throwing stuff on there. I've been using it every day, and I think that's always a good sign when you can use your own product. And so I'm using it every day, and I love it. And I can't wait to keep doing more stuff on there. Did you read this at all or no?
I feel like I talked to you that day, and you basically, like, dumped, you know, like, kind of told me everything that you were going to say in here.
So this was, I think you'll love this because you're a person that loves stuff. So these guys made the first synthesizer. So a lot of the ideas I'm having for this video stuff is around synthesizers.
What is a synthesizer?
Like, oh man, do I have to explain that? It's a way to bend sound that sounds like harmonic. There's other words for it, but it just sounds really cool.
It's like a processing step.
Yeah.
On top of music? Is that?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And then one of the first things that we're making is called the Remix Mark One. I can just show it right here. Go here and show it. So this is what we're making first. It's going to be like a video sequencer, because I've played music for so long, I realized like I feel like the sequencer is like a perfect way to do clips. And so one of the things I wanted to pay homage to was the RCA one. And then I've just found out about Raymond Scott last night. So apparently this guy, he was like super influential when it came to sequencers and how they were built out. And obviously it's probably like the Tesla of sequencers. Didn't get any credit outside of like, he made all the old cartoon stuff. And he built like the Moog. I don't know if you know the Moog. So Moog is a certain type of synthesizer. Came in there when he was like 20, and he worked with Raymond here. And yeah, that's him right there. But yeah, he was like really into his little lab that he had in Manhattan. I think he had a lab. It was called Manhattan Research Company. But yeah, it's really fascinating, because all this happened like in the 1920s, 30s and stuff. And then I've always told you, like, I feel like we're seeing that same kind of like new world being built in the same way. But yeah, so anyways, he made something really popular called the I have it here inside the post, called the Electronium. So that was what the picture was up here. Anyways, all that to say that I'm working on the video for the remix tools. If you're interested in checking it out, go and check it out.
Yeah.
And then the other one I wanted to bring up was Sidecar. So this was from Daniel. Daniel is building a lot of tools. He works for Resolver, but he's also doing this little cool Noster signer called Sidecar. And dude, so I started using this on Wednesday, I think it was. It's really, really slick. So it pops up right here. Let me see if I can show it on my screen so you can see it. But it pops up right here. And then I'm long, as you can see, I'm logged in. I get a switch. Like I have my Stacker News on here. So if I went to Stacker News, I can just sign in.
Oh, yeah.
It's super simple, dude. Like this feels extremely right. You can see everything in a glance. You can see your profile. You can back up and restore it. You can see your wallet if you're using NWC. It's literally the best extension I've used. And
this is like, an extension and not an app?
It's an extension.
Oh,
yeah, cool. It's called Sidecar.
It looks like an app.
Yeah. Check it out. It's still getting developed. Like I don't think it's actually public on Chrome Store.
And Sidecar, is it named after the beverage? Because I think Sidecar is like a greyhound or something. He has a picture of a cocktail.
I know he wanted to make it really classy.
Maybe that's the
beverage. There was a whole thread that we were on Primal. We were doing like a whole thread where we were like saying different Sidecars. Anyways, but
check it out. Cognac, orange liqueur, and fresh lemon juice. Is what a Sidecar is. There you go. Sounds pretty fancy.
Yeah.
But orange liqueur might be part of the motivation. Sorry.
Check it out. It's right here. Sidecar. That's another one. But yeah, it's been a busy week for building. And our last post this week is about the BIP 110 stuff.
Buried at the end of the podcast and no one listens to it. Here we go.
Wumble will clip this, I'm sure. Or he won't. Either way, there's people that watch this show. Not a lot of people, but people that watch this show regularly. And they want us talking about this stuff. Like there's a, what do you call it? I was bringing it up yesterday. We were talking about it. I wanted to share Jimmy's post because I feel like, let me share this full screen so you can kind of see. So Jimmy released this called On Overconfidence, going through like the BIP 110 debate that's been kind of going on for the past year. He said this. I don't know if you saw this. He said, I am not for or against BIP 110. The reason being that I don't know enough about the system to know the consequences of either path. We'll know a little more when the soft fork resolves one way or another. But currently I have little idea of how anything plays out.
I did see that.
Yeah. So from there, like if you go and click on the that Twitter post, you'll see a ton of people weighing in on it. He goes through this particular post here on Stacker News where he talks through why he does think there's some overconfidence on both sides and why he is thinking through this a little bit more probably differently than I would say everybody else from what I can tell. And then he talks about how he's not fence sitting. I think that was the biggest thing that he heard. I talked about how Bitcoin is a decentralized system. And then he gives his thoughts on BIP 110. And then he gives his honest position at the bottom. I don't want to mince words. I just kind of want to talk about this. Keon, what'd you think about what Jimmy said? And then what'd you think about the whole BIP 110 debate going on?
We've talked about BIP 110 stuff quite a few times on the podcast in the past. And so you can hear some of my thoughts there. I think most of people's frustration from Jimmy isn't so much that he has a point of view that they don't like. It's that he has like the absence of a point of view, and that can be kind of frustrating because they want him to take a side. And while he's not fence sitting, and I do think he means that he's not fence sitting. He is he appears to, this is like, this is the kind of position that someone who is sitting on the fence might say, and they might hide their fence sitting in language like this. And I think that's, and I don't think that's what he's doing, but that is, I think, why they're saying that. It's like, they, from their point of view, because they've taken a hard stance, they believe Jimmy should take a hard stance. And that's what he writes in this, is he's trying to address that criticism that it's because he believes that there is no hard stance that's right, is why he hasn't taken one. And he can kind of see both sides of it. But it sounds to me like he doesn't want a soft fork. That's how I read into it. But he can't, you know, it's possible, is what he's trying to consider. It's possible that the soft fork leads to something that is ultimately better, just because it attempts to restrict certain things. But it sounds to me like it would not be his choice to have the soft fork. But he is also, you know, not entirely against some of the things the soft fork does. But I think there are things to be critical about technically that I wish he would at least say. And I think he does say it in here that it seems to be kind of sloppy and hastily delivered. And he's definitely against that. And I think that is the position that a lot of sober people on this issue have taken. But he kind of buries that here. And that's something he could have said in the tweet instead. I don't want to tell people what they should say, but I feel like that would have been a more satisfactory answer if he's like, some of the things that are buried in here, some of the point of view that is kind of hidden in all the text here was actually surfaced in the summary that he originally posted on X. I don't like BIP 110. I understand the point of view of the people, or I've been trying very hard to understand the point of view who think it's good. I mostly don't like it on the grounds that it doesn't do what it claims. And then I see a lot of dishonesty on the side of the BIP 110 people. And that turns me off, because I don't think there's any reason to lie if what you're doing is actually good and it does all the things that it is supposed to. You don't have to lie. And so when I see people lying, I just run the other way. And that's kind of what has happened with BIP 110 for me. Those are my thoughts.
That's your thoughts on it. All right. What is Carr going to say?
Yeah, there you go.
Everybody's looking at me like, oh, what is Carr going to say? Don't worry. I'm going to say good things. I actually do believe Jimmy when he says that he doesn't know. I think a sign of a very intelligent person is when they can hold two things in their mind and think through it. There's a lot of people pointing at him saying that, you know, he needs to pick one way or another. I actually think that's a stupid move, quite frankly, just from like a game theory perspective. And that's more me talking. Like, that's what I would do. Not say anything, because why? You don't have to. Wait and see. That's always my position. Wait and see. But I will say with Jimmy, I actually believe Jimmy because I know him personally. He's not somebody that would not give you his honest answer. Even last year when we had him at the Builders Club, he was already talking through all this stuff ahead of time, and he had pointed out some of these things. I don't know, the recording's on the Pub Lab YouTube channel, but I'm pretty sure he kind of said the same thing. This was like a year ago. I'd have to go and look. But if anybody's interested in seeing how he thought about it back then when I asked him, this would have been like in July or August. Go check out that YouTube channel with Jimmy talking about this, because I definitely asked him. So with that said, I do believe Jimmy. I think he's thinking through these things in different scenarios. There's a lot of unknown knowns and unknowns of what could happen. How do I feel about this? And this is where I'm going to go into kind of like what I think. I actually think this is going to lead to a hard fork, personally. I actually think people are going to fork off, and I think it is going to happen, and I think there's nothing that you can do about it. Do you ever see Breaking Bad?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the last scene or the last season of Breaking Bad when Walt was in the desert with his brother-in-law, and they were like fighting, and Walt was about to go to jail, and then all of a sudden there's like this other group that comes and like basically has like a standoff with his brother-in-law and Gomez, I think is his name. Do you remember that?
I definitely do not remember that specific scene. I remember the show like broadly.
Okay, well, there's a scene where like these guys who had nothing to do with, or I don't think Walt called him there, but he came and they came and then they shot everybody, including his brother-in-law. And right before he shoot his brother-in-law, Walt's like begging the guy not to shoot his brother-in-law. And the brother-in-law says to the guy, or the brother-in-law says, Hank says to Walt, "You're the smartest guy I've ever met in my entire life, and you're too stupid to realize he's already made the decision 10 minutes ago." And that's kind of how I feel about the BIP 110 stuff. I think there's a lot of very smart people happening that are talking right now, that are arguing both sides, and they don't realize that the decision's already been made a year ago. That's how I personally feel. So I think there is going to be a hard fork. I think people are going to fork off. And so if you assume that, which I'm assuming that it's going to happen, how does it play out? And this is kind of what I really wanted to talk about, because I really think that there's actually more that's going to happen afterwards than, and these are the unknowns that we don't know about. I actually think there's a huge incentive to create a forked Bitcoin. And I actually think if you can get the market cap high enough, 4 billion, 5 billion, 6 billion, 7 billion, 8 billion, somewhere around there, then hypothetically what you're talking about is like a very interesting dividend for a lot of potential Bitcoin holders like ourselves. And if you're somebody like the people behind BIP 110, no names, I would say that it's I don't have the data, but maybe Scoresby or somebody who has a journalistic background could go and research. But I would imagine there's some huge money out there, because if you go and look at Bitcoin Cash right now, I think it's like at 4 billion market cap. It's a small market cap compared to Bitcoin. And if you go and look who mines Bitcoin Cash and who are the exchanges, there's a lot of money that's probably being made just sitting there on the sidelines. I would imagine, I don't know anything, but when you start playing this out, like if it plays out in the scenario, and this is where Jimmy doesn't necessarily say this because he doesn't have to. This is not his area of interest. He's more on the development side. But somebody like me, I'm thinking through it more like on the business side. Absolutely, that's probably what's going on behind the scenes. Absolutely, it's going to lead to a fork coin. Absolutely, there's maybe money to be made out there. And I think that's a thing that no one's talking about. So today, I think we should move the conversation forward. We should talk about what's really going on behind the scenes. And this is either true, and we should talk about this as a possibility, or this is not true, what I'm saying, and we should not talk about this or talk about this. Either way, it moves the conversation forward because no one's talking about a potential $4 billion, $5 billion market cap for this Fort coin. Any thoughts?
Yeah, I do have thoughts on this. I thought about this a little bit. You shared some of your thoughts on this with me this morning. And I think it actually makes, the more I think about it, the more it makes sense. So if you imagine that Ocean is has the majority of hash power on a fork coin that their CEO is promoting and trying to get promoted, they have the majority of hash power. That means they are collecting the Bitcoin subsidy on most of the blocks on that fork chain. And it's not Bitcoin at that point. It is BIP 110 coin or whatever. But they are collecting 3.25. Is that where we're at now? Or is it 3? I forget. But they're collecting the Bitcoin subsidy on each of those blocks on the fork chain, and they are selling them they are dumping them on the open market. And so if they can create enough people who have interest in that fork chain, it does create financial incentive for them to do this. It's interesting that we're discussing Jimmy in this context, because if you recall that he wrote about the Ordinals people forking off of Bitcoin.
Yeah, he did. He called the fork coin about 2 years ago when the Ordinal stuff was going on.
Yeah, but now we have a fork that is from the opposite camp.
We don't know if it's going to happen, but like I said a while ago, this was decided a year ago. This is going to happen.
But we have a fork from the opposite camp, and Jimmy is not predicting that fork. He is instead, it's kind of, right? Like way in advance, before we even know anything about the Ordinal, before any of us are really thinking about it, he's like, Ordinals people will fork. But now we have people actually saying, they're saying they're going to fork, and they plan to fork, and they will hard fork if they have to. Jimmy doesn't really have much to say on it, but maybe that's because it doesn't require much of a prediction in this case. But
I think it's because there's like an unknown to that, and maybe there wasn't back then.
No, but it was like even more unknown then. Like no one had even thought about it. None of the Ordinals people were even talking about doing forking.
I wanted to bring this up because I feel like no one's bringing this up, and it's just kind of disingenuous to the plebs who, quite frankly, is our audience. So if the plebs are asking, like, hey, Carr, what do you think about this old BIP 110 stuff? I'm telling you, this is what I think. I think this is happening. I think that the fact that no one's talking about this is, you know, a yellow flag at best. But it's just weird. And hopefully this spurs the conversation, break the glass, and then now the conversation can start. But yeah, dude, if they can ramp up, like, they can get to 9 billion. So because Bitcoin Cash came in like at four or five billion out the gate, if they can ramp it up to like 8 or 9 billion, get a couple other mining pools together, like, you got yourself a nice little ecosystem over there that's self-funded. That's all I'm saying. It's like, we're in a bottom pits of a bear market right now. No one's spending. Everybody's laying people off. People are down to their last dollars with runway. It's bad out there, I'm telling you. This is also the other really interesting thing is, like, talking on the other side of the Bitcoin thing, on the Bitcoin Core side, right? You see that, and Bitcoin's at, it's kind of at a standstill right now. Why? You know, we know, we've been talking about this, institutional plays, Treasury Co's, Clarity Act, all this stuff. So I just think that, and we were talking about earlier, maybe this is a good thing. Maybe, like, what happened last time with the Bcashers, like, it created this, and I don't know. It's just, to me, this is the more interesting conversation with the whole thing. It's like, what happens after there is a fork coin? Because there's a lot of people saying it's going to be a fork coin. And I'm more interested in that conversation than the conversation about, oh, you're wrong or right.
Yeah, I think because the BIP 110 people are claiming that they're going to overwhelmingly win and the software will succeed, when I think it's pretty safe to assume now that that won't happen, but you never know. You mentioned before that you mentioned Core, and then you said we're in a standstill. And I'm wondering what you mean by that.
I meant the price. I meant the price of a standstill. Yeah. I looked over here at the block clock.
I see. Because there's a lot of development still happening.
I think this is where what happened with the Bcash fork. Some people went this way, the other people went this way, and then the majority won. And I think you're going to see similar to that. But I even think back then it was probably the same incentives at play. I don't know anything. I wasn't working in the industry at that time, but maybe somebody else can clue into whether I'm right or wrong on that. But I would imagine there was somebody made some money on that Bcash fork, and it was probably all the people that were holding Bitcoin, a lot of Bitcoin. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I think I remember it was one of the more famous examples for me was Tracy. I think it was Tracy Mayer.
Is that
his name? Trace Mayer has talked about the, like, dividend, the fork dividend or whatever. Or some people have, like, historically referenced that, and that sticks out in my memory. And so, yeah, I think there is, like, incentive for Bitcoiners to want forks.
Huge incentive.
Yeah, because it allows them to sell.
If it gets big enough and it gets on an exchange like Coinbase or Binance, then all
it does do damage to the main brand.
Oh, it does. But
if you're in it for the long term, like, it's a, you can kind of have this long term vision and want lots of fork coins along the way to liquidate.
I mean, there's only a certain amount of ways to fund the ecosystem inherently through its system. And maybe Satoshi knew about this back then, and maybe he didn't, I don't know. But I would imagine one of the ways is through a fork coin. And then the other way is through, I don't know, maybe it's a layer above, like Lightning. I mean, I don't know, but this feels like it's going to happen.
It's like kind of the opposite reason why a lot of us get into Bitcoin, though, because it's quite it's like quite zero sum. It's like very shitcoiner stock market mentality, like the fork coin stuff, where you dump and someone else loses.
Plebs that buy into. So yeah, exactly. That's the other thing. So the plebs that are going to buy into this coin when it happens, because they follow the thing, they're the ones that people are dumping on. Let's be honest.
Yeah, and that's like why this isn't something to celebrate. I don't think because I think it is going to lead to people being harmed, like retail being harmed.
But if you can get enough plebs to believe that, hey, we're going to win, blah 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 blah, you YOLO all your Bitcoin that you've been saving over the course of 4 or 5 years, whatever, 3 years, whatever it's been since you came in, then you dump all that into this new fork coin. Guess what? A lot of people are going to be dumping on you. So that's kind of what I think is the thing that's not being said out there. And I don't mind saying it because
I think, yeah, another point is that this might be a like a kind of a choline or like a nice like a sterile or like a a new day a bit for Bitcoin culture. I think this will find this hopefully will end some of the conflict that we've seen over the last few years, where and most of the conflict was around the ordinal stuff, and this is the fork is a response to the ordinal stuff. So I think once this fork lands and we see a lot of people who are promoting it transition to the new coin and become like the Roger Verers of that coin, I think it'll be a nice new day for the actual Bitcoin. And we'll be able to kind of, I don't know. I just look forward to like us not being in great conflict because we've kind of separated ourselves from people who mostly want to fight with people they disagree with.
I say like, I think this was inevitable. Like at a certain point, like once you got to the stage where it's like being with politicians and institutions and like, you know, it was inevitable. And you don't need to be on the right side of history on this one. You just got to be smarter than the average person, I would say.
Yeah, I think for most people who are just holding their Bitcoin in cold storage, it's mostly a matter of like just not doing anything, not doing much of anything. For those of us who are transacting regularly, we should be paying quite a bit of attention because there are possibilities of you thinking that you sent money or someone sent you money and it confirms on one chain or the other. It's hard to tell what happens.
Yeah, I'm really going to be interested in seeing the whole Lightning stuff and how that plays out because we didn't have the Lightning Network back then. So I wonder how this is going to break multi-sig with Lightning channels. Probably not, right? I mean, you know about Lightning pretty well. What do you think?
Will it break Lightning? There have been some decent posts on this in the past. I'm trying to think of.
Probably not because it's technically just a multi-sig, right? That's off chain. So maybe when
all the transactions are off chain.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking. I don't think it would be making much of a difference unless there's other little errors in there.
I really do not have a good handle on. We discussed that like a year ago on Stacker News a bit, but I do not have a good handle on what happens to Lightning. It has the same level of risk that most economic activity will have when this fork happens, which is there's possibly going to be some reorgs.
I guess thinking through this more just like practically, I guess my mind goes to, okay, if I have a channel with you, do I expect Keon to rug me and like go and chase this coin, right?
Yeah, I think there's a possibility that you and I have a channel on Bitcoin right now. Mm-hmm. This fork happens, and then I close the channel on the other chain.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are things like that can happen.
Yeah.
Historically, right? Merch has done some good work on this where he like kind of did some historical analysis, what happened in the last forks or prior forks. And what ends up happening is a lot of the transactions get replayed on both chains. And so even if you mean to submit only on one chain, it ends up happening. It ends up on the other chain anyway.
Yeah.
So it's almost in that case, it's actually kind of, it's not too, at least, I think in terms of a Lightning channel, that's exactly the behavior you'd want. There are other situations where you might not want that, but I don't.
I'm going to ask Moritz because I'm talking to him this upcoming week. I'm going to ask him and see what he thinks about this. Because the other thing, I just want the stackers that are listening to the show right now and the plups are listening. We're definitely going to be covering a lot more of this stuff because I feel like no one else is talking about this stuff. And this is like useful information to get out because if there are going to be Lightning channels closing or there's going to be some sort of bugs or some sort of things when this fork happens, then I think people should be ready for it. And when do they say it's going to be like mid August?
I think it's September, possibly October, depending on how much hash rate.
Yeah, because if you have stuff in cold storage, I wouldn't worry about that. I feel like more on the Lightning side. That's kind of where my mind's curious around what's going to happen. But anyways, you have any other thoughts before we move on? I feel like we beat that horse to death.
I think we're pretty good. But yeah, it's nice that you're in. I remember last time we were talking about this, you're like, I don't want to talk about this. What? I don't care. I don't give it. Because this was like all of the Opportune stuff. It was like lumped in with the opportune stuff now, but now it's like getting interesting, I think.
Well, it's because like there's like there back then a year ago, like it was all being decided, and then I felt like everything, the aftermath of that is just everybody just placing their little pawns everywhere on the chessboard, and then I feel like there's just a lot of talk around like it's still being decided, which to me just feels a little disingenuous. And I just want to make sure that people that listen to us on Sacker News Live and the plebs that listen to me on this stuff know my thoughts, know what my thinking about it is. And that's what this is. And also, they're curious about you too, what your thoughts are on. So you don't want
to be listen to someone who spends a lot more time thinking about.
You have skin in the game. You have skin in the game. So I have skin in the game. So I'm fucking curious. I don't know who else you would believe. Maybe there's smarter people out there, but
yeah,
look at their incentives.
Yeah, try to find smart people to tell you.
Yeah, find about smart people that are incentivized the same as you, which I'm gonna.
Yeah,
I'm gonna ask Moritz why. That's why, because he has the same incentives as I do. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As far as like making sure lighting still works tomorrow after this happens. Anyways, that's all the stories that we have this week. We're going to jump into Top Cowboys, baby. Giddy on up, Keon. Put on the hat.
Oh, yeah.
You have the hat? No.
I do have the hat. Oh. It's here somewhere.
Yeah. Giddy on up. Giddy on up. Giddy on up. Oh, wait. Wrong one. Where's it at? Top Cowboys. Wait. Why is it? Oh, there it goes. Oh, looks like this week we got Coop, number two.
I'm number two. I think I've been number two for a long time now. Someone else is best to me. Then we have, I think the top five have been pretty static on Discipline Blockchain and
Gray Ruby.
Scoresby has climbed the ranks. OT, we are all Satoshi, also.
Crypto, Cryoto Sensei.
Billy the Cat has been keeping it up.
Dude, Billy the Cat, let's give him a shout out right here. Look at Billy. Look at those, that original writing. Boom. Look at all this. I'm curious to see what Billy the Cat thinks about Mighty Supreme. Actually, still haven't seen that movie, to be honest.
I really don't like biopics that much.
I never saw it.
When I watch them, I enjoy them, but it puts me in a weird mental state that I don't like. Is it right here?
Yeah, this is the one they reviewed. Yeah, I never saw it. Should probably watch it. I just can't watch a whole table tennis movie, you know? It just feels like very...
I like table tennis. You don't like table tennis?
I like playing it, but I don't know if I can watch a movie on it.
But I think that's what makes it interesting. It's like it's not like real. It's like sort of a weird sport where it's like not super athletic, but it is super. It's like mentally very athletic.
Oh no, dude! Like, can you, when you play table tennis, do you go like super long on it? Like, you can go far away where you're like hitting them, like Mighty Supreme, or no?
What do you mean, like far away from the table?
Yeah, like where you're like if this was a table, can you go on this side and before you know you're like out here like going whack. No?
I don't know. We played a lot when we were kids, like after our football and baseball games.
Did you get hardcore?
One of our friends had a table. I don't know.
I'm a lot better at foosball, to be honest. Like, I'm pretty damn good at
foosball. It's so awkward. It's like an awkward game.
I think I like it because I can move all these things at the same time and like my mind can see like the stuff, you know? I think that's why I like it.
Super awkward game.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we saw Satoshi. Stat-wise,
we have that group of hiders.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Monday they might reveal themselves.
So it doesn't even have a hat here, so we can guess. Oh, 44 days, 13 days. So they're somewhere in between 44 days.
Yeah, possibly have a month, roughly a month of.
Wonder who they could be.
That gang there.
Wonder who they are.
Hard to know.
End of the mic, Dev. Hey, there's me. I've been posting a lot this week.
Oh, yeah. You have two days of hat.
Right there. Socks.
Socks. 2 days of hat.
What is Socks working on these days?
Socks is working on a refresh of our design system so that we can do...
The design system.
Yeah, so we can do more theming and stuff.
Oh, for the homepage, right?
For custom domains, yeah.
Oh, nice. Which did you guys launch that yet? Or
no? We haven't publicly announced it, but it is done. It's out there. We're just trying to find a beta partner for it.
Hey, man. Do it. Let's see what else we got. Gion Clundu. Any of these other stackers snap? Oh, Nerd Ninja's here.
Yeah, Nerd Ninja's back.
Came back?
Really? Yeah, they've been around for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
One of the earliest folks.
That's
a fan stacker. Of the Ruby programming language. Them and I geeked out about it very early on in there.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, he has a replit portfolio. Can we look at it? See what that looks like? Oh, it's not found. Dang it.
Might be a little old. Yep.
Pleb Poet. Real Bitcoin Doggy. And No Mas. Oh, there's Schmitty. There you go.
Hey, yo. New op tech today.
That's all. That's all we got here on Stacker News Live this week. Yeah.
No theme this week.
I didn't get a chance to do the comments. I was running short on time, but we'll do them next week.
Did we get any good ones? I didn't even. I know Vake.
Yeah, we got Vake a lot. Returned, yeah, we so got a lot of comments. We got a lot of YouTube comments. Or actually, I should share the YouTube channel because like that could be useful for people that are just like stumbling on. When you go to YouTube, type in Stacker N. Boom, first one, baby. Click on that. And yeah.
What was that video right at the now? Top where the news isn't truthful?
See that
again? Is that not us?
Where?
At the in your search. If you go back, get back twice on your browser.
Uh-huh.
There. Oh.
Nope.
Yeah, there.
That's a sponsored ad.
Oh, I see. Not us. Okay.
Yeah, that's a sponsored ad. But yeah, there's us right there. Check it out. We have videos. We have popular videos like the Peter Thiel one, which I wonder if Peter Thiel sell. You probably end up seeing it, right? He's probably like, this guy's a jackass. You got the graphene one, the smash hit from all over the world. People love this one.
I feel like rich people maybe have their own internet and like they're not even on our internet. And so Peter Thiel wouldn't see us unless we go.
Wow. Dude, I love that. I want to believe that theory.
Rich YouTube? Yeah. Oh. Like the rich parallel.
So you mean internet. They have like their own private. Dude,
completely
look at
separate.
You.
Completely separate internet.
Oh, you know what? You're probably right.
I don't think they do, but I think that'd be it's like a
you
hilarious.
You could do that
idea.
Though now with like a satellite and stuff, right?
Oh, you could just have an overlay network that is like I don't know how you gate access to it, but you could have an overlay that was that you somehow maintained exclusivity.
I guess if you're like in the same ASN number, right? Like if you have your own ASN, depending on where you live.
Yeah, you could use. You don't need an overlay, but you probably want an overlay over public internet just so that like. It you didn't require like communicating to people that you were using it. It didn't require like infrastructure and relationships. Like an overlay is just a piece of software.
I wonder if Elon will probably build that then for the space stuff. Not for himself, but I mean for like space and stuff. You think so?
I don't know. But I mean, yeah, if there were a rich internet, well, Elon should be on it.
Eventually, if he goes to the moon, will the moon have internet?
I assume it would communicate with Earth, but it would be very slow.
Even if they use like, what's the light speed? So light speed.
Light speed. I would guess there's at least like a good 5 second delay, even at light traveling from the moon to Earth's surface.
Wouldn't it make more sense to have your own internet that served your own thing then?
Oh yeah, you could have a network, a communication network, exclusively on the moon.
Yeah, that would make sense why he's doing the AI data centers and the satellites.
Oh, to serve the rich people's internet?
Maybe some. I mean, maybe a portion of that, I would imagine, for SpaceX. I'm thinking more like on the SpaceX side.
Oh, I don't know.
We were
I
talking
think
about it... SpaceX earlier this week, and I just got super, I got bullish on it.
Yeah, you're like, oh, it's going to the moon. I don't know. They're going to the moon. It's going to the moon.
No, because Ted had came in saying, like, his friend had bought, like, SpaceX stock and then he's like, do you guys? And I was like, no, I would never buy stock like that. And he goes, but and I told him, I was like, no, I do think SpaceX could I think it could like 10x from where it's at. I think that's a very easy thing to do. And he goes, really? Why? And I told him, I was like, because it's I think you take the Earth's GDP and you multiply it by 10 and depending on how many planets they harvest, I mean, you could really see like value in that. Will it get there? I don't know. It's just something that I'm sure Elon is doing. Anyways, check out the clips. We have all the stuff here. There'll be some more clips coming out later today. And yeah. Keon, what are you doing this weekend?
I'm celebrating the independence of our great
You're damn right we are.
Our great nation.
4th of July.
Mexico.
What?
I guess I'm gonna do I might get drunk tomorrow with, and then in the presence of other people, possibly.
Nice.
And might see lights in the sky type of thing.
That's bad. Wow. That should be fun.
Yeah, I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know what's going on yet. I know there are several factions of at least in Pub Lab of like what they're doing tomorrow.
There's a lot of Bitcoin 4th of July parties. Let's just say
they're big on America here.
They're big on America in Texas.
Yeah,
4th of July. No, I think it's definitely worth the day to take off for sure. Celebrate what you have, especially if it's a 250th.
Is it? Oh, it is.
Huh? Yeah, yeah, and then obviously Sunday. So I think I think it's going to be a really good weekend. I'm looking forward to it.
What are you doing this weekend?
We're going to go hang out with you're going to go somewhere else. I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yeah,
and
I'm trying to figure it out.
I want to stay downtown because I feel like I just love my city. I just love it so much. I want to be downtown and I want to see it like right there from the water and all that kind of stuff. And it should be a good time. It'll be a lot of fun people. And it'd be good to kind of let loose. It's been such a grind this week.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Love to let loose.
What else is going to say? But Stackers, if you're watching this, you'd be safe this weekend. You don't drink and drive. Don't light fireworks. Don't light fireworks. Don't light fireworks around dry. What is that? Dry grass. And be careful with kids handling fireworks. That's all I'm going to say. Stay safe.
Yes. Zap.